got three passages of scripture I'd like to refer to tonight. And the first is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, which in the translation I've got here is on page 1002. Ezekiel chapter 11 and the end of verse 5. And the things that come into your mind, I know them. First epistle of Peter and chapter 1. It's on page 1469. First epistle of Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that ye have been redeemed, not by corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Christ, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but who has been manifested at the end of times for your sakes, who by him do believe on God, who has raised him from among the dead, and given him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. And finally, back in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, which is on page 945. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you in your latter end a hope. It hasn't quite said the word in all of these passages, but I wanted to speak tonight about things that God knows. There's a bus stop as you come into Yapton, and on the advert on the side of the bus stop, I'm not actually sure what the advert's for, but in big letters it says nothing hidden. And I don't know what the advert's for, but I thought those two words were very telling when it comes to the gospel. Nothing hidden. In the Gospels, the four Gospels in the Bible, Jesus spoke to lots of different people. We spoke about some of them this afternoon, the lawyer in Luke 10, the woman of Samaria in John 4. There's many different individuals that the Lord came and spoke to. And in each of those occasions, there was nothing hidden. That person had their lives, their faults, their sins, if you like, exposed completely when the light of the Lord Jesus shone upon them. And I think probably most of us in this room would consider ourselves to be fairly good people compared to perhaps those we read about in newspapers or those people that we watch and read about in elsewhere. We would consider ourselves fairly good people, perhaps morally upright, perhaps we would even nominally consider ourselves a Christian. And yet the gospel and the message of the gospel and the light of the gospel would shine upon each and every one of us tonight and show us for what we really are. There is no hiding when it comes to God. There is no fooling God. You know, we can fool a lot of people. We can say the right thing and do the right thing and tick the right box, and perhaps we have been doing so for many years. And you can fool your parents, and you can fool your brothers and sisters, and you can perhaps fool your children. But you know, dear friend, you can never fool God. God knows your very heart. In Psalm 44, it says he knows the secrets of the heart. And dear friend, tonight there is no escaping the matter that God is a God who knows not just what you do, but the reason why you do things. He knows intimately your very motivations, and he knows, dear friend, where you stand before him tonight. Whether you are still there in all your sin, despite perhaps a pretense of ticking the right box, God knows where you stand and whether your name tonight is written in the book of life. He says, doesn't he? The Lord says in one of the Gospels, the very hairs of your head are numbered. There is no escaping it. And here in Ezekiel, He says that things that come into your mind, I know them. There is nothing hidden before God. There's that verse, isn't there, in Hebrews, where it says there's not a creature that is unapparent before him. And then it goes on at the end of that verse to say that we have a God with whom we have to do. There is no escaping, dear friend, tonight that God knows everything about you, but there is also no escaping the fact tonight that one day you must give an account of yourself for everything that you have done and said and thought. There is no escaping these matters, dear friend. And no matter how good a facade you may have put on, there is no getting away from it, dear friend. You either have a living link with the Lord Jesus Christ. You either have peace in your heart, knowing that your sins have been completely forgiven, or you don't. There is no middle ground. And dear friend, tonight I think we all individually need to be honest with ourselves as to where we stand before God. We spoke this afternoon about several of the churches in Revelation. And one of the churches there, I can't quite remember which one it was, it talks about thou hast a name that liveth, but thou art dead. And dear friend, tonight I think we need to really closely evaluate where we stand before God tonight. Have we been going on through the motions? Or do we really have that peace and assurance in our heart of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, knowing our sins have been washed completely away, and that we have been made a brand new creation, and we can stand before God on the foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ has set? Do you know that, dear friend? Or do you just know about that? There's a big difference. Do you know the Lord Jesus, or do you just know about him? We must, dear friend, make this personal. We must, dear friend, make this individual. We have heard the terms of the gospel time and time again. And yet, dear friend, you've perhaps sat in your seat and never once made that step of faith to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour. Dear friend, you have the opportunity tonight. You have the perfect opportunity in your seat here tonight, in this room, to come before God, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you before him deserve nothing but judgment. And yet looking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who stood in your place and is able tonight to offer you salvation from your sins. Dear friend, you can do that right now. There's nothing stopping you tonight, dear friend, from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Be honest with yourself and be honest with your heart. God is a God that knows everything about you. The things that come into your mind, I know them. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he said, everything. God will judge everything, the good things and the bad things. There's no escaping it. This is a God that knows intimately everything about you. And he knows tonight where you stand before him. So dear friend, make good use of your time now. Be honest with yourself, be honest with your heart, and be honest with God. Where do you stand tonight? And make the decision, make good use of your opportunity here to come to know a God who desires to be a Saviour God for you, dear friend, tonight. The things that come into your mind, I know them. Come to Peter. We have here the blood of Christ foreknown, indeed, before the foundation of the world. You know, we have a God that knows everything about you, knows every single sin that you've ever committed, knows every single thought that's come into your mind, every single action you've ever done. And yet we also have a God who is able and has brought in this most wonderful plan of salvation. So that, dear friend, tonight, you in your sin do not have to suffer the consequence and penalty of that sin, because it has been borne entirely by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, dear friend, you see, when we're honest with our hearts and when we're honest with ourselves, we come to the conclusion, as Paul wrote in Romans, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where the honest evaluation of your heart must lead you. When you look at comparing yourself to other people, you might think you're better or worse than others, but it doesn't matter. It's about comparing yourself to the standard that God has set out in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see in the Gospels, time and time again, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that he did, in everything that he said. He was God's Son, perfect in every way. And dear friend, when we compare the life that we see of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and we compare it to our life, dear friend, we must admit that we come far short of the standard that God expects. And what does that mean? Well, it says the wages of sin is death. We've earned, dear friend, a punishment. The way that we have acted, the things that we have said, the underlying curse that has infected all of humanity has meant that we have been separated from God. And dear friend, if you leave, if you die, if you like, if you leave this scene here, if you leave this earth without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, there is nothing for you, dear friend, but the eternal consequence of your sins. You know, I was reading the other day, and perhaps when we read these things, we don't often take it in, the gravity, if you like, of what these things mean. I was reading about the great white throne in Revelation. And what a solemn scene that is. And yet, dear friend, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Saviour, that is going to be one day where you end up. If you read it, it's solemn beyond comprehension. Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged each according to their works. And then at the end of that chapter, and if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Dear friend, tonight this is not a trivial matter. This is not something to joke about. This is not something to take lightly. There is a real eternal consequence, dear friend, tonight, for walking out of that room, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And yet, dear friend, the same person that sits on that throne, whose face earth and heavens fled away from, is the same person tonight that God is offering towards you as a Saviour. The same one that the little children came and sat nearby. The same one who many were found sitting at his feet. The same one tonight, dear friend, who loved you so much that he gave himself so that he could secure you for himself. And dear friend, tonight, I hope the attractiveness and the love of which the Lord Jesus Christ loves you comes across in this message, because he does. He loves you so much that he gave himself for you. Paul says that. What a wonderful thing it is that as a Christian, I can say the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And dear friend, tonight I wonder whether you can say that and really mean it. Know that that punishment on that cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ bore the penalty that I should have borne, it was done for me. And it was done for me, and now I can go free because of what he has done. And dear friend, tonight again, we hear about these things week in, week out. But you must make it your own. You must make it your own. There is no substitute. You can know every verse in the Bible. You can come to the meetings as often as you like. You can do as many great so-called Christian things as whatever. It doesn't matter. It all counts for nothing if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. We must be honest with ourselves. We have here the greatest giving that could possibly be given here in Peter. Precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's the perfection. There's the perfection of the sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. God's great plan of salvation. It says, doesn't it, that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And dear friend, that includes you. God knows everything about you. God knows every single sin and Honestly, if you sitting here tonight knew about my individual sins, I have no idea what you'd say, but it wouldn't be good. And it's the same for all of us. We have things that we are probably acutely embarrassed of. And yet God knows us intimately, and yet that didn't stop him loving us. That didn't stop him sending his son to die on that cross. The Romans says, doesn't it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet away from God, while we were yet everything that God hated, while we were yet everything that we were enemies of God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And dear friend, tonight, I want you to realize the magnificence of what it is in God giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross so that tonight, dear friend, you can go free. You can have your sins forgiven. Everything you've ever done, it says, doesn't it, in the Psalms, as far as the east is from the west. That's how far God removes your sins from you. They are wiped clean, never to be brought up again. And you know the very fact that God knows every single thing that you've ever done wrong, knows that he's not going to miss one either. Every single sin, dear friend, that you've ever committed, washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, that is on, maybe not the right word, but that is on offer tonight. That is the opportunity you can have tonight by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The blood of Christ foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. You know that blood that poured out on that cross, outflowed, didn't it say, outflowed blood and water. Without the shedding of blood, it says, doesn't it, in Hebrews, there is no remission. God required that perfect sacrifice in order to move out tonight towards you in righteous blessing. You can be blessed righteously. You can be blessed rightly. God keeps his righteousness intact and yet can bless you, the sinner. It says in Psalms, doesn't it, about righteousness and peace have kissed. That happened at the cross. That most magnificent of events. The centerpiece of time, we often say, don't we? Where the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore my sins on that cross. And dear friend, I wonder, did he bear yours? Do you know and have the assurance in your heart of knowing your sins are gone? And you know, not only is the cross there, but you get the resurrection as well. The wonderful two-part to this great event where God was able to come out righteously. And we are able to preach the gospel tonight because of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were, before the Easter holidays at school, I did a little lesson with my reception children about the Easter story. And we had to cut out pictures of the story as it's told in the gospels, the Lord Jesus coming in on a donkey and the Last Supper and etc. And we got to the point where there's those three crosses standing on a hill. And one of the girls in my class said, well, that's the end of the story, isn't it? What's next? And you know, I thought, that's so interesting, isn't it? Because that's not the end of the story. The story doesn't end on the cross. We spoke today about the world doesn't see the Lord Jesus after the cross. But dear friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus is alive. He's risen and he's ascended and he's seated at the Father's right hand. That means, you know, there's so much included in that, but in terms of the gospel, it means that the Lord Jesus, that sacrifice was accepted by God. And we can have assurance tonight that if you come to in repentance and faith, you know, because of the resurrection, that your sins can be washed away. It's so important to understand that because the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today, you can have that assurance in your heart of knowing that everything that you ever were and all the things you've ever done have been dealt with and dealt with forever. And nothing and no one can bring them up ever again. What a wonderful peace you can have in your heart, knowing that nothing that it hasn't been on your merit or things that you've done. It's because of what he's done. And that perfect sacrifice can never be undone. What a wonderful peace you can have in your heart tonight, dear friend, by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Well, I want to finish by turning to back to Jeremiah. Another no here. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. You know, when you become a Christian, God doesn't just let you wander. You become a new creation. You have a new heart placed in you. A new life is given to you. A new direction, a new purpose. We spoke this afternoon about the Holy Spirit coming to indwell a believer. You know, we often talk about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus and when he came as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, and how we should often talk about that. What a marvelous and miraculous thing that was. And yet, perhaps we don't quite grasp, and certainly I don't quite grasp, the magnitude of what it is for the Holy Spirit to be given to dwell inside of a Christian. To know that the Holy Spirit himself is dwelling inside of me and is able to lead me and guide me through the rest of my time, however long that may be, down here. God, we read today in the reading, we're not left down here as orphans. The same God that knows everything about us also knows what's best for us. And if we trust him as Christians with our sins initially in the gospel, we should also trust him with the rest of our lives as we carry on down here. This is a God that knows everything about us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows intimately what is best for you down here. And dear friend tonight, and dear believer tonight, it would be a good thing, wouldn't it, if we put our faith and trust daily in the Lord Jesus, daily in God to lead us and guide us. It says in Hebrews, doesn't it, he's the author, the Lord Jesus is the author and completer of faith, having our eyes fixed upon him. He knows what's best. He knows what is best for you, and he is able to lead you and guide you. Psalm 23, what a wonderful passage that is. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a saviour first of all. And that's initially, dear friend, tonight where I hope that you find him. That's our prayer of each and every one in this room, to pray that you know the Lord Jesus as your saviour. But he's also a shepherd. He's a guide. He's a friend. Somebody used to preach, I heard from this desk, and he kept referring to him as an all the way home saviour. And I think what a wonderful expression that is. Somebody that will never leave you. Somebody that knows everything about you. Somebody that will never leave you. You know, what a gift has been given in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, as a saviour for you, but also as a shepherd and a friend and a guide. And it's that gift of the Holy Spirit as well that is able to empower us to follow after the Lord Jesus, to have that, not that natural energy, but it's that supernatural energy to follow after the Lord Jesus himself, to live down here in the power of the Holy Spirit, to have your life marked out differently to those that do not know the Saviour, and to move down here as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is a wonderful privilege and there's a wonderful responsibility about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, tonight I pray that you will come to know, first of all, your sins forgiven, but also what it is to have that wonderful sense of being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, doesn't he, in John 10, he says, I know them. He knows them. He knows each and every one of us intimately. And those of us that are saved in this room, he knows you. He knows what's best for you. And I think perhaps often we should remind ourselves that we are sheep. We are there to follow the Lord Jesus. We're not there to make our own way through life. We are there to follow. He knows what's best. He knows us intimately. And so, dear friend, I just pray that tonight you will not just know about the gospel. You will not just know about the Lord Jesus. But you may know him personally, intimately. And if you're saved tonight sitting in this room, that you may know him in a greater way. That you may have a greater sense of his leading in your life as you spend the rest of your time, however long that may be, down here on this earth, before we are taken to be with him. The wonderful hope of every Christian, that one day they will see their Saviour face to face. It's my hope. I know it's many of your hopes in here and in this room as well. But let's not just talk about these things. Let's make them real. Let's make them real tonight. And let's make, if never before, make the Saviour your Saviour tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.